Happy Europe Day, everyone. Welcome to the Foreign Policy Talks Europe Day special episode. For this interview, we'll bring to you the candid and exclusive conversation with the ambassadors of the European Union member countries. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, the listeners of Foreign Policy Talks podcast. Thank you so much for being the loyal listeners of this platform. I know everyone is busy today, but I'm so happy and delighted to welcome Ambassador Beata Stoczynska, Ambassador of Poland to Indonesia. Before I give her a lot of tough and important questions to her, let me greet her. How are you doing, Ambassador Beata?
I'm fine. Thank you very much, Noto, for your kind invitation and a great idea to have this podcast with EU ambassadors. It's really honor and pleasure and privilege to be part of this project. So I'm ready for your questions and hopefully I will speak as much as possible about the current issues.
Right. Thank you so much for making your time, Ambassador. And that's good. So this interview is actually to celebrate Europe Day, Ambassador. And I believe that the values of Europe Day should not be just felt by Europeans, right? It can also needs to be felt by people across the globe, especially Indonesians. So would you mind if I ask you your reflection on Europe Day and how do you translate this value, the values of Europe Day, to your national principles and foreign engagement, especially with Indonesia?
For us, Europe Day is a very special time. We, European Union countries, in May, 9 of May, and the whole week of the celebration, we feel like one family, and we cooperate very closely, 27 countries, together to explain the world what is the European Union now, today, and how we see the world, and how we want to cooperate with our partners, and politically, economically, in every aspect. Of course, we celebrate Europe Days also in Indonesia. I remember fantastic receptions 2018, 2019, before pandemia. We celebrated with our Indonesian friends in a very colorful way. We organized as the European Union huge receptions where each country had opportunity to show its culture, to present food, culinaries. So it was really great time we had together 2018, 2019 in Jakarta. Unfortunately, as everywhere, also in Indonesia, because of pandemia, for 2 years we were not able really to physically to meet. Everything what was organized, it was virtually. But this year we are starting to organize, let's say, in a hybrid way. To celebrate our Europe Day in a hybrid way. So this podcast are part of the celebration of the European Days, but also there will be a reception, there will be launching of the publication, European Union publications, which are about the cooperation between the European Union and Indonesia. There will be many other activities organized by the delegation of the European Union and also by the embassies. So I'm very glad that this year opens a little bit more than it was last 2 years. You asked me about the values. Of course, the principal value of the European Union is democracy, it's human rights respect. All countries, European countries, are working on this very basic principles. Of course, we are very open for the cooperation with third countries, and the great example of such a cooperation is Indonesia. So we cooperate with Indonesia very tightly, but of course, each country has its own, let's say, relations with Indonesia as well. me as a Polish ambassador, my main job is to cooperate with Indonesian partner on a bilateral platform. If we are talking about, if I may to say a few words about the bilateral relations, I would like to stress that definitely the priority for the bilateral cooperation between Poland and Indonesia, it is economic cooperation. Our bilateral trade between our two countries, it's approximately $1 billion. Even during pandemic years, it's not a small amount, but also not a big one. I think that our two countries, that we can reach more, we can trade more, we can invest to each other, to Poland in Indonesia, Indonesia in Poland more than $1 billion US dollars. And I hope it will that the trade and investment will grow after pandemia. I do believe that it will be like that. For the moment, we have some Polish investments. One of our flag investment in Indonesia is this investment in energy sector. The Polish company, Polish company Rafako, together with the PLN and Reking, Indonesian partners, we have a joint investment in the island of Lombok, with delivering two energy blocks to the island and to deliver the energy to the people. So I am very proud of this project. Just today, director of the Rafako visited my embassy, and we had a good discussion about how the project is processing, and hopefully next year this process will be finished. So I am very glad of that. But also talking about the economic cooperation, you can see more and more products, Polish products, in Indonesian shops, in Indonesian cities. This is because also that we established in 2018 the Trade and Investment Office in Jakarta. So I have, more people which are helping embassy to promote the Polish products in Indonesia. So this is really great. And I think you can see more dairy products or meat products in Indonesia. And I was still working very hard with the Agriculture Ministry of Indonesia to be more open at market for Polish products, not only Polish products, but the European Union products. Yes, because for instance, Poland is has a very good agriculture products, food, very tasty, very valuable, and not very expensive. So and I think it is absolutely necessary to export more from Poland. As for today, if we are analyzing the trade between Poland and Indonesia, the deficit is on a Polish side. So Indonesia does not need to be worried about. So we should try to balance a little bit our bilateral trade. And I think the agriculture products should have be more positively received by Indonesian market. But it is up of agriculture ministry. So I do hope that the ministry will be more flexible and more helpful. So this is economic, but maybe you can maybe you can give me some more questions. Not to
sure, Ambassador. And it seems that you in Poland, Indonesia has achieved a lot of things, but there are still more rooms or more doors to open, right, for bilateral trade cooperation between both states. And I want to touch a bit about COVID, Ambassador, because you know we are still in the midst of pandemic, but of course we are very much triggered to move on, right, to a post-pandemic time. I'm curious to know, how does Poland and Indonesia are planning to work together to navigate our future goals to be more resilient, Ambassador, you know, and maybe to be greener as well, right? I'm sure Poland has an, we know this advanced nation in terms of energy transition, also about the green economic development. So how does Poland and Indonesia can navigate themselves to have a better recovery, Ambassador?
Oh, there are plenty of space, I think, for our two countries, plenty of space. First of all, we should stress that, of course, Indonesia is a leader of the Southeast Asia, big regional power. Poland, we see ourselves also as a leader of the Central and West Eastern Europe, also a regional power. So we have a quite similar position from the geopolitical point of view. Yep. And I think that we should cooperate really closely in many areas. There are plenty of space for that. You mentioned energy transition. Yes, energy transition, it is one of the example. As you maybe know, Poland, although we are not member of G20 group, but we would like to be the country who is cooperating with G20 countries. Yeah. And thanks to Indonesia, which is presidency this year of G20, we are invited to the working group of the energy transition. So we are very proud of that, and we are ready to share our experiences. So this is one example how we can do the world better, especially after pandemic. The energy transition, it's a very important issue for both countries, we know already. And of course, it is connected to the green economy, very much connected to the green economy. But also, I think that in the post-pandemic world, we should, as I mentioned before, we should also focus on, let's say, food security, because we see how important it is for every country. Even now, when we see the situation in Eastern Europe, the war in Ukraine, we see how unstable situation in one, two countries can destroy the whole network in a food security system. Yep. So it is very obvious that that we should cooperate on that also more closely. And this is why I mentioned that we are expecting more open attitude from the Minister of Agriculture of Indonesia, because we don't want to just to send massive amount of our products, but simply we want to share our best practices, our best products from the agriculture sector to Indonesia. So, but there are also, I think the COVID shown us how important it is, how we should value the people to people contact. Yes, how it is important, because during these 2 years, it was really difficult, and it was really almost impossible to have physical contact between people. How it is important, and so we should value this, and to try to organize as many as possible meetings, dialogues. Like for instance, this year we would like to organize with Indonesia the fourth round of the interfaith and intercultural dialogue. It will be already fourth round, because we already ran three rounds and with success, but because of pandemic, it was impossible to organize another, I mean, the four one. So I do believe that we will be able to organize together with the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Indonesia here in Jakarta, the dialogue, interfaith dialogue meeting. So this is also important, to bring people from Poland, to bring people from Indonesia, to let them meet, talk, discuss things, especially that interfaith dialogue, intercultural dialogue is so important. And Indonesia is a great example of the country who can share experience because of the Pancasila philosophy, respect for religions, and the rule of the religion in your country. I think it's so interesting, and Poland is more than happy to listen to and to learn and to share experience as well. So this is also the one more platform for the cooperation in the future. But also the COVID shown us how important is IT sector, cybersecurity, all this stuff. You know, we now learn, even like today, yes, we are talking via Zoom, virtually. And three years ago, it was completely different, I think. It was something very rare to contact with people on online. Yes, it was maybe privately, people were, you know, on Skype or WhatsApp or something. But now it is so popular. And actually, we see that we can achieve goals and we can achieve, what we want, also through the hybrid system. So we can meet personally, but we can also meet virtually. So we can mix these two and have a good result as well. So I think that COVID taught us a lot. And this lesson was really unbelievable, and we learn a lot, and I do hope that after pandemia, even our relations, they will even closer.
Awesome, Ambassador. I cannot imagine how busy you are, right? There's a wide ranging sectors that Poland and Indonesia can work together, can grow together, right? Especially at the post-pandemic time. But you touch a bit on the problem, the crisis in the Eastern Europe now, which is in the Ukraine, Ambassador. Allow me to touch on it. And as we know that the impacts are everywhere, not only in Europe, right? The spillover impacts on economy and social politics are everywhere across the globe. But there's also a problem of humanitarian crisis. There are a lot of displaced people who are seeking, right, for a better place, which is now it's one example is Poland, right? And fortunately, Poland has opened the border to accommodate these refugees. But how does Poland see this crisis? And how do you think the actors should solve the crisis immediately and put the conflict into an end?
Yes, you call this crisis in Ukraine, but I would rather say Russian invasion to Ukraine. It is the war. It is the war. It's unbelievable what's going on during last 2 months, because actually 24th of February the war started, so we have already 2 months of regular war. Unfortunately, this war is very like primitive way running war, very brutal war. And according to the UN estimates, more than 12 million people are in need of urgent humanitarian aid, including basic needs like food, medical supplies, shelter. 12 million people need help. From the very, very beginning, since 24th of February, Poland was very much involved in helping Ukraine. Actually, for today, 2.9 million people from Ukraine crossed the border with Poland. We have more than 2 million refugees today from Ukraine. So it is even, I think, difficult to imagine the amount of these people, yes? And they are mostly women, children, elderly people, people in urgent need, yes? So, and Poland, I think, passes exams of the good neighbor every day during this 60 days war. We open it and we are opening all the time our hearts, our homes. It is, of course, the whole action is very much organized by the central government, local governments, volunteers, Polish church, and private people. Almost every person in Poland, every family is in some way involved in this refugee crisis. Polish people invite Ukrainian families to their homes. privately. They give them rooms or apartments. They give them food, and it's I think the scale is unbelievable. But of course, we are also introducing some more professional way to think, because the problem is what next? Because of course you can help people for 1-2 weeks, but if there is already 2 months or longer, so we have think in a different perspective. Yes. So Polish government and the parliament introduced the special law dedicated to Ukrainian refugees, under which Polish Ukrainian citizen can apply for the Polish national ID number, and which allows the access to the labor market, access to the health system, access to the education system for children, and so this is what it is already created for the 18 months, 1 year and a half. So we will see what will happen after this time next year. So this is what we are doing, but also the Polish government is has special funds for the families who are helping who are receiving families, Ukrainian families in their homes. So there are money for this family who is helping Ukrainians. So this is also, there is a program, government program in Poland, which is already 5 or 6 years in Poland, to help Polish families with children. And we increased this program also for the Ukrainians now. It means that every child in the family every month is receiving amount of money, let's say 100 euro. Every child is just receiving. If you have one child, you are receiving 100 euro. If two child, 200. If three, etc. And so the same program was introduced now to cover the costs of food, of accommodation, also for the Ukrainian families and children. So of course it is very costly for the Polish government and the Polish society, but I think, and I have the feeling when I watch Polish TV or listen to on the internet to listen or reading the information from Poland, I have the feeling that Polish people simply agree to even to lose something, even to sacrifice something, but in favor to help Ukrainians. Mm-hmm. And it is really, I think, fantastic and a good example of friendship. And just if we are talking about this, about the humanitarian aid, I just want to say that Polish government and Sweden government, together with the European Council and European Commission, are organizing special humanitarian assistance to Ukraine, and there will be a 5th of May. It will be actually before the Europe Day, but I wanted to say about that 5th of May, it will be high-level international donors conference for Ukraine, and this conference is taking place in Warsaw. And is hosting, as I said, by Prime Minister of Poland, Prime Minister of Sweden, European Council President, and President of the European Commission, and with the participation of the UN, United Nations Under Secretary General for Humanitarian Affairs and Emergency Relief Coordinator. We also are inviting all heads of states or governments from around the world for this conference. They can be present physically or virtually, and they can share the will to help in this humanitarian crisis. So, and today we sent a letter to President Joko Widodo, President of Indonesia, the invitation letter. So I do hope that Indonesia will be part of this donor conference as well.
Yeah. I mean, we need to appreciate ambassador, you know, the people of the Polish and also people across Europe, right, who helped the Ukrainians in facing this war. And human is actually the main victim of this war, and we agree with that. And thank you so much for sharing that, and hope Indonesians will understand now the situations there in Ukraine and how countries across Ukraine is actually, around Ukraine is actually working so hard to minimize the risk of this war. But Ambassador, as you know, that the war is also affecting the state and success of G20 Indonesian presidency. I would like to know how do you see, or do you have any expectation about G20 Indonesian presidency, and how do you see Russia's presence at the G20?
Oh, I think that the G20 presidency of Indonesia presidency it's a big thing for Indonesia. Yes, it is really a chance for Indonesia to show its scale and its importance in this part of the world. Yes, it's really I congratulated already too many people. I mean, from the Indonesian government, because I strongly believe it is a big chance for Indonesia to show your country on the international arena, to be more visible, because I think Indonesia is such a great and interesting country. The scale of the country is huge. So, and sometimes people in the world, they don't really know a lot about Indonesia. They usually know Bali, you know, something about batik, and that's it. And they had no idea how important country it is, and with its especially energy of the people, mineral resources, I don't know, diversity, cultural diversity, with its Pancasila philosophy, all these things are so important, and I think Indonesia could be a good example of a country who is able to deal with all these challenges, in the same time to be a democratic country, to have a parliament, elected president, and I think it's really fantastic what Indonesia can show on. And G20 presidency is a time to show actually the country. Yes, so I wish all the best, and I think that the motto of the G20 presidency is fantastic. Recover, how it was, recover stronger, we recover together. So I and this is very much connected to the post, let's say, COVID situation. So I think it has a lot of meaning, and Poland is really supports Indonesia in its presidency. And I, as I said, we are invited as observer to the energy transformation working group. Also, Indonesia invites us for the so-called engagements group, like Supreme Audit Institutions or youth organization, or we are also in touch with Kadin colleagues and talking about how we can be part of the B20 side events. We would be very interested in this formula to participate on a side events during B20 meetings. So all this, so I'm very grateful for Indonesia presidency that they invited us to so many bodies. It is a great experience. I mean, unfortunately, as I said at the beginning, Poland is not a G20 country, but I would like to stress that our economy is on a, let's say, 21st, 22nd place in the world, which is a quite good result, but unfortunately not in the 20 group, but very close to 20. But even we are not member, we want to share our experiences, and we want to be in touch with every presidency, yes, and especially this year with Indonesia, especially with Indonesia. So we are very, very, wish all the best in Indonesia in achieving all goals during its presidency.
Awesome. I've heard of that, Ambassador, that Poland should be included into the G20 given to its economic potential and growth, right? and especially its consequential influence in your part of Europe, right?
Yes, I think so, because we are advocate of the democracy in our region, in Eastern and Central Europe. We are on a developed country. We have so many to offer. And of course, Poland, with its history a little bit, maybe a little bit similar to Indonesia, because you started your democratic path in 1998, let's say. Poland started democratic reforms in 1989. When the communist system collapsed in Europe, Central and Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
And we, since 1989, we started our reforms, and we have fantastic experiences. And now we are member of the European Union family, and we are very happy of that. We are member of NATO system. From the security point of view, we are very, very, very happy of that as well. And many other organizations, international organizations, and we feel as a strong member of the international community. So we can share our experiences and values with the rest of the world as a Central and European region leader. So yes. So hopefully maybe in the future you will be part of G20 or G21 or G22, I don't know, but yes, of this group.
Yeah, when there is a G20 reform. But Ambassador, we've talked a lot of heavy and important topics, so let's just be relaxed now. I know and I saw that you've been visited a lot of places around Indonesia. And Ambassador, I talked to many ambassadors before you, the European Union ambassadors, and they said this is the most difficult questions that they need to answer. So I'll just to give it to you. Do you have any places or, you know, any areas in Indonesia that you think is very interesting for you? Or we, of course, it's one or two, but yes, some others are difficult to choose.
Thank you very much for this question. I always like this question if somebody asks me, because as I am already 4 years in Indonesia, so I had plenty of time to visit many places in this beautiful country. Actually, if I will count, I visited like maybe 18 provinces.
Mm.
18 provinces. I think that many Indonesians never visited so many places like me or other ambassadors. It is the ambassador's job to visit not only, you know, people from the capital, but also people in other parts of the country. So this is our job to meet people beyond Jakarta, not only in the capital. So, but it is always very difficult for me to say whether I have a favorite place, because every place is different. Every place shows something different, and in every place people are so friendly, and every place has to offer it from the of course economic point of view, but also from the tourism point of view. Yes, every place I visited brought something to my soul, to my heart. So I can't really say which part, but of course I am, as I said, I visited almost 18 provinces. In Sumatra, I like Lampung provinces very much. Mm. Also the North Sumatra, Medan, especially, I don't know whether you know that in Medan, there is Polonia Airport, and as well the Polonia district. And people sometimes they don't know why it is called Polonia. Polonia in Latin language means Poland.
Oh.
Why it is called Polonia? Because more than 100 years ago, the Polish aristocrat was living in Sumatra, and he was the owner of the tobacco plantation, and he was very good friend of the local people and or even the Sultan that time. Mm. He established the Sultan Guard for Sultan. He organized the security guard for Sultan. People liked him very much, And so this part of Medan where the airport is located is called Polonia. So this is our Polish, let's say our Polish trails or tips in Indonesia. So north Sumatra. I also was in Aceh. Or Bangka Belitung province, beautiful new let's say location for the tourism, yes, and new attraction for tourism as a tourism destination. I was in Natuna Island. I visited actually every province in Java Island. But of course, very close to my heart is Flores Island and Entity province. Why? Because in Flores we have Polish priests, Polish missionaries who are here in Indonesia since mid of 60s, last century. And so 2 months ago I had opportunity to visit Flores and the beautiful village and small town of Roe, and meet a lot of people and Polish priests, and we celebrate 60th anniversary of his priesthood. So it was fantastic trip. Also, last year I had the opportunity to visit North Maluku. It was unbelievable, and Morotai Island, to see some history because it was the Pacific War and the base of the American troops during the war with Japan, and a lot of history there. And I like very much in North Maluku the plantations, let's say plantations, the trees with the spices. So it was really something which is you never will meet such a spices in Poland, for instance, or in Europe. So this is extraordinary for me. Also, of course, Bali. Bali is Bali, so I am always very happy to go there and to have a little bit rest and relax. So Bali is fantastic. But also Lombok, as I said at the beginning, our energy investment is located in Lombok. And this island has a special place in my heart because of the friendship of the governor of this province. Dr. Zul visited Poland many times, and actually he established a special scholarship for its young people to study in Poland. Every year there are young people going to Poland to study under the scholarship provided by the provincial government. I think it is like 30 people per year from Lombok going to study in Poland. Actually, the last thing I want to say is that education is one of my really important priority in my job here in Indonesia, because I think that we should bring to Poland as many as possible students. They can study, technical studies, engineering, medical studies, everything what they want in English language, under the scholarships, but not so many places for under the scholarships, but also on a commercial level. But the cost of living in Poland is really reasonable, and the quality of studies is very high, are very very strong. So I would like to also through this podcast to encourage young Indonesian to think about studies in Poland.
And I'm sure it's very friendly for Muslims to study, right, Ambassador, in Poland?
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of to offer. Friendly people in Poland, open people, good quality of studies. As I said, not very high costs of living. Yep. And on our website, on our social media, there are short video films with the people who are studying in Poland, and they share experience. Whether they like it or don't like it, but of course they like it. So I would like also to encourage our listeners to listen and to visit our social media. We are trying to be active on our social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. So please visit us and learn more about Poland.
Right. But again, Ambassador, I cannot get one specific answer of places. So you cover a lot of areas around Indonesia. But anyways, thank you so much, Ambassador Biota, for your knowledge, for your thoughts, for sharing about Poland-Indonesia relationships, and most importantly, your reflection on Ukraine-Russia war, right, which affecting many parts of the world. But yes. Listeners, I hope you get a lot of things from this interview, and hope to see you again, Ambassador.
Yes, I hope so as well. All the best. Thank you so much.
Stay safe. Thank you, everyone, for listening all the way to the end. Follow Foreign Policy Talks on Instagram at Foreign Policy Talks to keep updated. Feel free to comment your thoughts on this Europe Day special episode on our Instagram. And don't forget to check the quiz that we're going to have, especially for the celebration of peace and unity in this Europe Day. Thank you, and stay tuned for the next episodes.